Not with Clement on 702. Let's walk the talk.
This morning we are hanging out with an award-winning author. She is a poet, a playwright, director. She's a performer. Her name is Tsina Mhlophe. She really is a literary legend, a captivating storyteller. And I'm so glad that she's hanging out with us this morning, just so we can get to know her better. Thank you so much for making time for us, Mam Tsina Mhlophe. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. Hi, Ziyashisa indaba, I can hear.
Hey, Ziyashisa, it's South Africa.
Hey, things are happening.
There's never a dull moment in this country.
No, in the world. The world
in the world. It is indeed.
South Africa.
Have you ever written or even had an interest to write about like global affairs, or like even when you write your books where you say, I want to dabble in what happens in current affairs or what happens worldwide, or that inspires you? Is that something that has ever crossed your mind?
I think one of the fascinating things for me has been how we interact with other organizations or other institutions in different countries. I have been somehow, when I've got a day off, which is rare.
Yeah.
When I have a day off, I like to see how the U.S. honors their own while they still live.
Mm.
They've got those concerts, massive concerts, different people performing songs. Mabehlonipho Stevie Wonder, they are like focusing on Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Musicians of all ages perform his music, and he just sits in the audience and basks in the lime, in the light, mm, in the love, in the sunshine of all his achievements. They've done that with the great Tina Turner. They've done that with the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. They've done that with Charles. I mean, it's amazing. In South Africa, I wait until you die. And then when you're dead, yeah.
They celebrate
gonna
you.
We're going to honor you. Yeah, you're still alive. Chill, man.
Chill. You're still, yeah. I mean, it's so sad because, you know, that approach really deprives us of an opportunity to appreciate those people when they're still alive. And I think it takes away the opportunity for them to also feel appreciated, right? Because there are a lot of sacrifices that people make. I mean, artists themselves make sacrifices. Artists themselves take from a well in their depth, you know, the songs that they write. Their artistry, and then I think when they're still alive and they take a moment to sit in that sunshine, as you say, in that glory of appreciation, that makes a huge difference.
A huge difference that I matter, that I touch so many lives. You know, it's extremely important. You know, in 2020, at the beginning of 2020, two things happened during that visit. I've been an artist in residence at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. If you Google that one day, you will see what an amazing place, designed by a woman, by the way, to the T. I think the builders must have been furious because she was physically there every day. You know how upset Abantu Abakhayo they can be when you are the owner and you're there. It's worse if you are female. Go and cook, man. Go and do something. Go and do your nails. So Isabella Stewart Gardner was there every day and wanting everything to be done in the way that she wanted. Anyway, while I was at the Gardner Museum, there's something that they do. When you're an artist in residence for those 6 weeks, and there's a time when they call the who's who of Boston, Massachusetts, to come and listen to you do something called the Eye of the Beholder. So it's scary because they come from politics, they come from business, they come from the law fraternity, they come from all over, these people. They come and listen to you. That's the ordinary from South Africa.
Wow.
The eye of the beholder. What have you experienced in the 6 weeks while you were there? And one of the things I wanted to talk about is how we manage to divorce our heroes from their wives and their families. When you talk about Martin Luther King, he never had a wife. He never had children. Like, a wife, uzomenzani? When you talk about Malcolm X, of course he never had a wife. No children. You just talk about Malcolm X alone. Robert Sobukwe, same story. And again and again, so many people that we honor, that we celebrate. Chief Albert Luthuli, his wife, Umama Nokukhanya Luthuli, is my own hero forever and ever and ever. You know, she's my hero. She's my powerful role model. Nobody talks about her. She never existed. And she did so much. So my eye of the beholder was looking at that, saying, but we are in at a space at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum where this place was designed by a woman. And it never took away the fact that she was married to an amazing man, Gardner, who gave her the love and the respect and let her creativity fly. And like, they had the budget to do that. Because when you see how that place is designed, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then when she died, she left money to say, I want there to be living artists who come here to do their work. And so I was one of those. I think I was the 42nd artist in residence. And Abdullah Ibrahim, the great Abdullah Ibrahim, was the first one from South Africa. So I was the second one.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Where did it all begin for you? I mean, to be invited, to something so prestigious. That's because there's an appreciation of your work as a poet, as a storyteller. What inspired you to pursue a career as a storyteller and a writer? Because it's one thing to enjoy writing poetry or performing. It's another to take a conscious decision that I'm actually going to make this a career. This is what I want to do.
I think the planets align. And then you are at the right place at the right time. You meet the right people, things like that. I didn't particularly see myself as a performer. I thought I would be a writer. And I would live a much more well-behaved life. And if health issues didn't, you could not imagine me living a well-behaved life. I'm trying as well. I'm trying very hard.
Yeah.
But I think if I hadn't gotten into the performing arts, I would be sitting in some university doing languages because I love languages. So I think I would be forced to live a well-behaved life because what you do when you're in languages, you deal with languages and write academic papers and go to conferences and do clever things like that. So maybe my level of cleverity didn't go that high. So I went into something that happened quite by chance, because when I did praise poetry, I met a playwright who said, listen, I want to work with you. And then I agreed because I thought it was just a once off. At the time, I was writing for Learn and Teach magazine in Johannesburg. And my editor, Mark Sattner, was just an amazing man and a great a guide and role model for me, because I didn't know what it means to write in simple English. When English is your second language, what is simple English? Because you like get into the bag and pull out whatever English word comes out and write. And so I was very grateful for that. But from time to time, I was part of a Kauleza arts group in Alexander Township. That's where I was living at the time. And so he saw me performing poetry, doing praise poetry. And this guy said to me, listen, I want to work with you. I've written a play and I would like you to do the lead role of Umongikazi. That was the great Maisha Maponya from Deep Kloof, Soweto. I agreed. I didn't know that I was stepping onto the professional stage, because when it opened at the Market Theatre, it was something different. It's not like when the sketch somewhere, Sontweni or Lokshin. This is serious on a professional stage. So I had to really, really buckle up and be ready for a long journey. And the first play I ever did traveled overseas for 6 months. And then I came back and a man who was going to become my mentor, Ubani Simon, the artistic director of the Market Theatre, said, I want to see you. He sent somebody, Upra James Mtoba, to come and call me in Alexander Township. I went to see Upra Simon and he said, I want to work with you. And so from then onwards, I just kept on working with different directors, or even getting into doing the first movie I ever acted in, The Place of Weeping by Daryl Roth, produced by Anand Singh of Video Vision. And so things kept happening back to back, one after another. And for me, I'm not one to say, no, angwazi yaziting kabang and kabangan. What are you thinking? Let's jump, man.
Let's do it.
So when and I throw myself, yes, I'm under Latin. Throw yourself into this thing, bones and all.
Yeah.
So for me, everything I do it bones and all.
Did your grandmother tell you stories when you were growing up?
Oh, yes. She was a master storyteller, I promise you. She was a master storyteller. She painted pictures with words. She took me into other countries, below the ocean, above the clouds, into baobab trees. So many stories she told me. And she gave me that amazing art of listening.
Oof.
So by the time I set foot in a classroom, I was sharpened like a very, very sharp knife because I knew how to listen. No teacher ever said to me, "Hlala phansi, awuthule, lalela," because me, I was ready. I was trained by an amazing master storyteller, my grandmother.
Mm. Oh, and she has trained the best, who's now training more people. I want us to get to some of your favorite songs, and then we'll continue this conversation. I'm taking calls as well on 011-883-0702. Do you want to send us a WhatsApp voice note? You can do that on 072-702-1702. We're hanging out this morning with Gcina Mhlophe. She is really an incredible award-winning author, a poet, a director, a performer. She does it all, as she said. I'm not going to think about it. Let's go. This is Obona Pambili. Tell me about "I'm Still Here" by Albertina Walker. What is it about this song?
Albertina Walker, another one of those women with a double bass voice like me. She sings amazing gospel music, and she's one of my favorite musicians. And she says, "I'm still here in spite of it all." You know, when you think of the things we have gone through in this life, and you wake up one morning, think, "I'm still here." To see a brand new morning. Abantu abadala babethi mawubabuze mabekubingelela nawe ubabingelele ngiyaphila. Umuntu omdala akasho ukuthi I'm well. They say ngivukile. I woke up. Because it's something special to wake up and see a brand new day, to see the sun rising. And so for me, I'm grateful today in my family, as well as in our organization, Gcina Masiko Arts and Heritage Trust, we celebrate Grateful Thursdays. So thank you for inviting me on your show to hang out with you. It is a Grateful Thursday. And Albertina says, "I'm still here in spite of it all." After all the achievements and all the hard times and the tears falling and rising, all of it, I'm still here.
Yo, Mom Gcina is absolutely amazing. I remember growing up, we used to watch her stories on Mlingo, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was. But yeah, she's an absolutely amazing storyteller. She can't even answer your question without turning it into like a story you want her to unpack and to go deeper into. Yeah, that just talks about the amazing storyteller that she is.
Good morning, Clement. Much appreciated for hosting a poet, writer, storyteller, everything, you know, extraordinaire, especially in these days where the kids are consumed by technology. We grew up with grannies telling us stories, and for her to continue that legacy. I just wanted to say, she said something about the men only being visible. Perhaps it comes from that saying in the past century, behind every successful man, there's a woman. So that has to change. Thanks to her mentioning it, that today women are visible and in leadership. So women should be heard and not just seen. Thanks,
Dima. Absolutely. Thank you. Mtunzi, you're calling us from Boksburg. Good morning.
Hi, Clement. Good morning.
Hi.
Oh, my word. I just want to appreciate this lady, Clement. You have the love we have for Mam Gcina. You know, I was first introduced to Mam Gcina at a very young age. I grew up in the Eastern Cape, and on Saturday mornings, she used to I think it was Radio Cross at the time. And you know, you wouldn't miss, you know, that morning where she's on air. And I was fortunate to meet her. It was, I think, the Soweto Bantu Book Festival. She was about 69 years old, you know, at the time. And I learned so much about her. And there was this song that I loved, And I sent it to her, and she gave me the CD and says, this is track number 4.
Oh, wow.
You know, this is for you. And she's so warm, and she speaks with so much conviction. She's captivating. She is a gem and a national treasure to us. You know, we love that lady.
Amazing, Twinzy. Thank you. She is a national treasure indeed. And I'm so glad we have an opportunity to appreciate her this morning while she's still alive. We're going to continue our conversation with Gcina Mhlophe after the latest in Eyewitness News headlines. Keep your calls and your WhatsApps coming as well. It's 10:30.
Hanging out with Clement on 702. Let's walk the talk.
25 minutes before 11 o'clock on our Hanging Out feature this morning, we've got Gcina Mhlophe. She's a poet. She really is a literary legend. And it's so great to have all of us just celebrate her. And appreciate the incredible work that she does. Mam Gcina, I just want to take John, who's calling us from Centurion, and we'll come back to our discussion. John in Centurion, hi.
Hello, Clement. This is John Centurion. We're speaking again 2 days in a row. How do you like that, Clement?
Oh, love it, love it. Go ahead, man.
Can I have a word with Mama Gcina Mhlophe?
I'm listening. I'm here. Hi.
Hi, how are you, Mama?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Many years ago in the 90s, I was working for the SABC and I had to produce some kind of a storytelling episode. And I thought I got your role to play as a storyteller. And this was meant for Radio Leboa. I hope you will still remember. Radio Leboa, it was called Tobela. We managed to get a sponsor in Nestle, and you came along and related the story in many, many episodes. Do you still remember this? In the 90s, do you remember?
In the 1990s, yes. And I was still living in Johannesburg. Yes.
Yes, and we got a soundtrack of Mangi Bangu to do. You know those days when you recorded a program and you come with a soundtrack?
Mangi Bangu.
And what happened over the years that I've during my filing, I've lost all those transcripts, and if by any chance you managed to have kept yours, is there a chance that you can make me copies?
Mm.
You know what? SABC, what they did, they kept the what you call it, the, I don't know if you call them the transcripts, the recordings.
Yeah, yeah.
Like all the 7 years when I did the radio storytelling, it was paid for by Joko T from Unilever. SABC kept that, all of it, on their archives. And then when I did the television series, Gcina and Friends, and all of the episodes are at SABC, I'm hoping to be able to buy at least the television recordings, because we will need them here. I run an organization called Gcina Masiko Arts and Heritage Trust, and we've got a part of it that is called the Memory House. And the Memory House, we do audio visual and also some audio interviews with great, great South Africans. When you think of the 41 people that we have interviewed so far, I'm amazed. I sit there like a little child listening to all of these interviews that we have done. And so it is important then that we have those also here at the Memory House. And you know who else that I've never met, that I adored, that I sat on Sundays and listened to him? Mahale Mafatshe.
Are
Africa wa Halema. Africa wa Radio Bob. Mahale Mafatshe, the power of radio. I've never met him.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still alive. This guy was cooking.
Yeah. How many languages do you speak, Mam Gcina? Because, I mean, there's... I've heard you bring in a bit of Ndebele, a bit of Xhosa, then some Zulu, some Sotho. How many languages?
I don't speak many languages. I speak isiZulu and isiXhosa and a bit of Sesotho. When I'm performing Go Freestata or Northwest, we've got a good relationship as well with indigenous knowledge systems, go Northwest University. And if they are listening, hey, Dr. Mutero, big up. We celebrate you. Wow. And so for me, I speak those languages, but online, if you Google my name, Bati, she can speak is Afrikaans. Like, yo, that'd be a problem if I had to perform in Afrikaans.
Imagine they book you based on what they saw.
Looking for me, they're going to shoot me.
That would be funny.
That would be so funny. Okay.
They come and shoot me. They say, this woman is bad. Yeah. Bad.
Do you have specific work that you have done? Maybe a play you have written and directed, produced, or a book or a poem you have written that is most close to your heart? So is there any piece of work you've done that you treasure more than most?
I think there are different things. But the fascinating thing when they ask the journalists, they love to ask this question, which one is your favorite poem or favorite story or play? Mm. Let's look at Have You Seen Zandile?
Mm.
Have You Seen Zandile? Mm. The autobiographical play that I wrote after my mother passed away in 1984, December. And so Have You Seen Zandile was performed for the first time at the Market Theatre, directed by Marilyn van Rijnen. I acted with Thembi Mtshali, amazing actress and amazing artist all around. And I remember Have You Seen Zandile opening in August 1985. I never thought Have You Seen Zandile would still be performed today in 2024. Mm. I performed it for 3 years in a row. After that, I got called to go and direct Have You Seen Zandile in Chicago with African-American actors. That was fascinating.
Wow.
And then I got invited to direct Have You Seen Zandile at the Carpetbag Theatre Company in Knoxville, Tennessee. And so I've directed it with different companies. And it was amazing to sit at the Project Theatre in Baltimore and not be on stage. Because I watched it for the first time in Baltimore. Have You Seen Zandile? And I thought, okay, that's what it looks like. That's what it sounds like. Because I'm always on stage.
Mm.
But after 3 years, I couldn't do it anymore. But so many people have performed Have You Seen Zandile in schools, go McGill University in Canada, in different countries, all over the world and all over South Africa. And primary schools, high schools, mostly high schools and universities have done it. And it's published as a play. So it's amazing that it's got staying power.
Yeah.
Another one of my stories, Umazane Ndaba, the woman who went to the bottom of the ocean to find stories when there were no stories. I wrote that story because I thought, listen, Ben, when you think about where stories come from, they're going to tell you about Anansi the spider. When they tell you about where stories came from, they're going to talk about Kalulu, the spring hare or the rabbit. And I thought in my part of the world, it's mostly the grandmothers who tell stories. So I decided to write a story that I will call Mazane Ndaba, A Mother's Search for Stories. And she went to the bottom of the ocean riding on a dolphin. That is one of my most translated stories. It has come out in German, in French, in Dutch. It has come out in Portuguese, in Spanish, even in Japanese. And in Japanese, my Japanese publisher found women in Winterfeld, women I'd never heard of, by the way, and I'm South African. These women are called Mapula women. They have done the illustrations for this book, the Japanese version, and it's embroidery to die for. So beautiful, exquisite. So they sat in their workshop every day, listening to my voice, narrating the story over and over and over, and they illustrated the book, all of it until the end with embroidery.
Yeah.
Ooh. I mean, what a gift, what a gift. And I still owe those women. I have to go and visit them in Winterfeld and sit with them and give them a free performance. Bring your family and your best friends and your cousin and whoever else. Yeah. So I still owe them a trip to Winterfeld.
You ended up republishing Nozincwadi, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And Sometimes It Rains is also one of my most translated poems. It has come out in so many languages. And so when I release my book of poetry, just my poetry, it will come out in three languages, of course. And it's isiZulu, it's iXhosa, and in English. And also, like, when you honor the likes of Baba Oliver Tambo, you can't honor him in English. Hello? You're going to do it in iXhosa. When you write about umlando, into enzima, you can't do that in English. You translate it into English, but you have to write it in isiZulu. So there are those kinds of things. I don't have one poem that I would say is my favorite, but a typical Tsinamhlophe poem would be The Company of Words. I think that is a typical Tsinamhlophe poem.
Would I be putting you on the spot if I asked you before we wrap up our interview to perform something a little for us? Something. I know I didn't prepare you for this, but when I'm listening to you with the passion, I just think the listeners would appreciate just a little piece by Mamgcina Mhlophe. So maybe before we wrap up, you can give us a little something. Here's another song, Wake Up Everybody. Tell me about it.
I we have to wake up. The spirit of Vuguzenzele is what we have to do as South Africans. It doesn't matter what line of work you are in. Please, please, please get up. Wake up. Do something. Make a difference in our country. Enough of, ay, politiki, you are the government. Ay, man, they didn't polish my shoes again this morning. Ooh, politiki. Like, we can't trust politicians in general. We can't trust them. We know that for a fact. But what are we doing? So for me, I'm about doing. Wake up, everybody. Do something. You can make a difference. You're never too small to make a difference.
Just you and me.
Thank you so much for bringing Ugogqina. She is Ugogo to some of us because she used to read us stories on Yo TV, Kidio. That's how old I am. Thank you so much. I love this woman. Beautiful soul. Thank you for having her.
Hi, Clement. Fabulous interview. Love Umamgqina Mhlophe. She is a national treasure, and I wish most people in this country would realize that. I brought up my children in some of her storybooks, and she's such a phenomenal storyteller. May she continue to enrich our culture and educate South Africans about our very rich heritage and our wonderful, wonderful past and stories.
Clement Ayichabu speaking here. Thanks for bringing in Umamgqina Mhlophe. She is the living literary encyclopedia. Thanks, Maqhubeka ngomsebenzi wakho, siyawuthanda. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for the WhatsApps. Another one, Umamgqina says, Clement, I used to listen to Umamgqina Mhlophe as a kid on Ukhozi FM. She was doing Izinganekwane. Another one says, it's so refreshing hearing the versatile master of airwaves on your show. I vividly recall her velvet voice on a BBC Focus on Africa program many years ago when she was a regular newsreader during the tumultuous struggle years against the apartheid regime. That's Tamsanqa Mlilo in Randburg. Another one says, Clement, thank you for that brilliant woman. As an English teacher myself, I have the honor of dissecting her stories, and at times I even forget myself and read with her voice and energy. What an inspiration. I'm truly transformed. Thank you, Mhlophe. And Clement, thank you for inviting that legend onto your show. I'm weeping in awe of her. Oh, those are some of the messages that are coming through, Mhlophe. Oh, how?
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Someone else also says, Clement, I just wanted to thank Umama there for when I was younger, I never got to value my mother tongue. Umama did storytelling, and I appreciated South African languages because of her and the richness of who we are. And I'm 44 years old now, and my kids appreciate the storytelling now. The show she once did at Monte Cassino was the best moment I had with my kids, seeing them listening to her like that. It was just incredible. These are messages that are coming through. Do you find it hard, Mhlophe? I wonder if there's, like, you've evolved in how you write stories, especially for, you know, minors or kids. Because as you said earlier, you know, nowadays kids have got these digital devices. They would rather spend most of their time on iPads. You know, when you're writing stories or reading them stories, parents often struggle about what kind of books to buy that would be of interest to them. How has that evolved for you as a writer, and what's been your observation around children and how they've evolved in what they like and what they don't like reading, etc.?
Thank you so much, Clement. Thank you so much to all the voice notes and the different people and their wonderful, wonderful messages. I'm humbled, like you will not believe. The same thing also applies to me wanting to say a huge thank you to all the universities that have given me doctorates. You know, when I got the first one ever at the London Open University, I was amazed that this university in an international place saying, Aibo, you are Dr. Mhlophe.
Sure.
And then saying more universities, Rhodes University or Pretoria University or UJ or Nelson Mandela University. All of you know, when you're sitting here, my daughter says to me, "Ah, Dr. Mama Wena," because now you know, this seven honorary doctorates from these different universities, and it took me time to introduce myself as Dr. Gcina Mhlophe. And now I cannot spit in the face of the people who honor me, who celebrate me, who see the value of the work that I do. That is at another level. But when I'm with little people, the child inside me wakes up. I need to show them love. I need to lead by example. I need to celebrate the taste of languages. And children are not judgmental. Children, they take what you are sharing with them, and it depends on how you are sharing with them and how you take them seriously. So yes, I've evolved in the way that I'm telling stories, not only writing them or doing the audio recordings, but I've done video storytelling as well. I don't know if you heard, on the 8th of September, 2020, what year was it? 23. My goodness, this year is going on fast forward. So 2023, we launched the first ever Nozi Ngwadi, Mother of Books, sign language video. It has come out in all South African languages, yes, and I hope it will come out in Kiswahili, in Nama, in Namibia, Wolof in Senegal, Douala in Cameroon, in Arabic. But you know what? I was so honored and so humbled to have a sign language teacher helping me with Video Vision, giving us the time and sponsoring the video. So now we've got a video of the Nozi Ngwadi, Mother of Books, as a book, but a video, an audio visual book with sign language. And I'm thinking, you got to do more, woman. You've started. I am Ingola. My books also come out in Braille, and it means a lot to me, because a person who's blind is not less of my child. You can be blind, you can be hard of hearing, can have three legs if you want. I don't care who you are. The children of South Africa, I love them. Let's show them love. Let's guide them. Let's share the stories of our people with them instead of criticizing. I don't know how many of my people have heard them saying to their own biological children, "Yes, Mamten, abas luto lab, abas luto." How can you say that to your own child? What are you doing? So please share the stories, even your childhood memories, with your children. Ngiyanicela, ma South African. Ngiyanicela.
I'm listening to you now, Momgcina, and I'm thinking, you've always sounded so passionate and so energetic. How do you keep that consistency? Because for as long as I remember you, and I'm sure the other listeners as well listening to this conversation are thinking, that's the same person I listen to, you know, from back in the days when I was still young. How do you keep this energy and the passion going?
There are things that the Almighty God has done for me. One of them is good health. Not everybody can say they are blessed with good health. Some people want lots of money. Money doesn't hurt, but for me, the Almighty God has been so good to me and blessed me with good health. I'm 65 years old now. And I don't know if you know, my birthday, 24th of October, is always celebrated now since 2019 as our National Storytelling Day. That's something special. And also, I live on vitamin G all the time, every day. Vitamin gratitude. I'm grateful for so much, so much, you know. And even though I arrived in the late afternoon in this motherhood business, but my daughter, Nomakwezi, means so much to me. That's why I called her Nomakwezi, the morning star. And it was a brand new beginning for me. And there are constantly different beginnings for me. And so I'm passionate. This passion is my way of saying, thank you, Almighty God. Thank you, Almighty God. That's why I keep saying, Rilebucha Modimo. We thank the Almighty God. Sibonga ophezulu, sibonga abaphansi. It's gratitude that you hear in my voice. It is gratitude that you'll see in my face. And if you watch my eyes,
it's so contagious. All right, give us something, please, before we wrap up. What are you going to perform for us?
In the company of words, it is truly wonderful, marvelous and comforting to know that I have eyes to read, hands that can write, and an enormous love for words. I am truly blessed to be speaking a few extremely beautiful languages, for I love words, languages ancestors. When I'm happy, words define my happiness. When I'm sad and confused, words turn into clay. They allow me to mold and remold my muddled up thoughts till I find inner peace in my soul. Had I to choose between weeping and reading, I'd most definitely choose reading, a good book, for I have proof. For aches and tensions, it works. Countless times I've turned my back on pain and found friends in characters from far off lands. Countless times I have defied anger and caressed my nerves with an old comic book. Countless times I have triumphed over insomnia and I've had a heart-to-heart talk with my pen and paper. I come to my desk in the dead of the night without a clue as to how I wish to start. But then before I know it, words of all types and sizes, they come rushing onto my fingertips. Then I feel my whole body smile as I welcome every single one of them like the good old friends that they are. And then when they start dancing in large circles around me, throwing teasing, wordy shadows on my walls, I am convinced that I was not born to be bored. For how indeed can boredom even begin to penetrate my timeless word circle? Now you see why I am so content in the company of words, of words, of words, of words.
Ooh. Ah, I'm getting goosebumps. Thank you so much, Mama Gcina Mhlophe. And thank you for making time for us this morning. We honor you. We appreciate you. And we wish you all the best with your future plans, your future programs, and thank you for blessing us with your artistry. We appreciate you a lot.
Happy Grateful Thursday. Let's make a difference in our country. Every single one of us, we've got something to offer.